We're in Philippians chapter 1 is where we're going to be. We're picking up in week 3 of our series on rhythms of gratitude. Rhythms of gratitude. We're looking at Paul and Paul's life. And y'all, we have this series titled Rhythms of Gratitude because of Paul's unrelenting joy. This Paul's life, y'all, it just doesn't add up. It just doesn't make sense. For him to have joy in the middle of what he's going through just does not make sense. All right, Paul is writing about joy, about being grateful, about rejoicing in the middle of while he's on house arrest, chained to a Roman guard. Like, this is jail, Paul in jail, but he's writing about joy. And so as we look at this, we've got to dig a little bit deeper into Paul's life, into what's going on, that we understand, man, how in the world are you going through what you're going through and you still have joy? What is it about you? What's going on? And as we're talking about this, I just want you to think for a second of who is that one person that you have in your life. Hopefully, maybe it's more than one, but who's that one person in your life that you know is just way too happy for whatever the circumstance is that's going on? Like, they've got way too much joy. So you're smiling way too much right now. You are way too happy for what is going on. For me and my journey with God, I was in high school and had zero interest in following God. I was completely consumed by myself, so I found myself in the gym. Amen. And so in my days of working out, you go to the gym, and I'm focused on doing my thing. I'm in the gym. We're going to work hard, blah, blah, straight, game face on. And there's this guy that's in there that's, number one, outworking me, but number two, he can't quit smiling while he's doing it. And it's like, man, how are you working so hard and also smiling so much at the same time? Quit smiling. There's no way you can be this happy. I mean, all the time, week in and week out, this dude just has the biggest smile on his face. He ended up being one of my biggest mentors in my life, because when you find somebody like that, it's not just because he's a positive guy. It's not just because this dude woke up each and every day thinking, man, I'm just going to smile a bunch today. It's because when you dig a little bit deeper, he has a story of finding real freedom. He has a story of finding real freedom and real hope in a relationship with Christ that changes everything for him. And he can't help but smile. He can't help but have the joy that comes from having a relationship with Christ. And so what I want to do today, as we look at this scripture and as we look at our story and we have a conversation about joy, what can often happen is we kind of check this into two categories in our brain. One side is, I've heard this before. Yeah, right, just like everything else, I should be more joyful. Right? And we can just kind of check that off of like, but I've got serious stuff going on. And we're going to miss all of what the lesson is this morning if we can't approach this from a place of honesty. Because the other side is we let this be a thing that is this workspace thing that is that we need to produce the joy. And we don't ever understand the freedom that we are designed to have that gives us the joy. And it takes honesty. It takes honesty for us to come before the Lord, for us to come in His Word, and for Him to show us where we are for the sake of us being able to surrender and actually experience the freedom that He desires us to experience. And so it's going to take honesty on your part to come and allow the Word to reveal to you wherever you are in your journey with Him. This isn't a thing of I should be more joyful. This is a thing of let's look at Paul's life, a guy that should not be joyful but is. A guy that is rejoicing in the midst of crazy amounts of pain and hardship, but he is boasting in his relationship with Christ, and there's a reason for that. And let's look at it, but let's look at it in light of our own life and where we are and what's going on. We're in Philippians chapter 1. If you found your way there, there's a number of different ways you can preach a message. What I want to do is I want to read this entire passage. We're going to spend some time in prayer, and what we're going to do is just get to walk line by line. I mean, this text is too good to not just walk straight through it and just see so many of the truths that are here. So we're going to get a big picture, we're going to pray, and then we're going to walk line by line through this. Starting in verse 18 is where we're going to start, 18b, the second part. It says, yes, and I will rejoice. Verse 19, for I know that through your prayers in the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by death or by life. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two, for my desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue for you all, with you all, for your progress and joy in the faith, verse 26, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Let's pray. God, as we hear your word, as we look at the Paul's writing that you have for us to hear this morning, God, I just pray as a group we could come under the truth, the reality of your word, God, as we look at someone like Paul, God, in his story of hope in the midst of a hopeless situation, God, as we think about our own life and the many ways we would either desire more joy, God, or the many ways that we are just hurting with our circumstances, God, where is our gratitude? Where are our desires? God, I just pray that there would be a grace in this room that we could just be honest. God, that we wouldn't put you, like we put everybody else, in a place that we don't want people to see what's going on the inside of us. But God, we would feel the grace that you know exactly what's going on the inside of us. God, you know more than we know about what's going on the inside of us. And so God, I pray that you would introduce us by your Spirit into a freedom this morning, God, that allows us to have real joy. God, that allows us to not just preach a message, God, but live a message. God, that allows us to be your church and to live in the freedom that you've set us free for, God. I just pray that over us in this moment, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Y'all, Paul starts with the statement of, yes, and I will rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. Paul is already talking about the future. I will rejoice. This statement is crazy in and of itself because where he is right now, he's sitting in arrest, about to face the rulers who more than likely it isn't going to end well for him. What he's facing is death for what he's done in preaching the gospel, and says, yes, and I will rejoice. Future tense talking about I will rejoice. He's just got done saying, I am rejoicing and I have been rejoicing over other huge problems that I don't know how you rejoice over. He was rejoicing in our last passage that we talked about last week over preachers who were preaching the gospel for selfish ambition, who weren't even preaching the gospel for the purity, for the sake of Christ, but for their own means. And this is here, Paul, it's been in prison for the sake of preaching the gospel, completely just giving himself up for it, and he's still able to rejoice because Christ is being honored. He would still be able to rejoice. It's like, Paul, I don't get this. How in the world are you able to rejoice in that? You're still looking to the future, saying that I will rejoice. God, Paul, how is that? Paul, are you lying to us? What's going on? Is this just a good message on a Sunday morning, or is this real for you? What is it, Paul, that's going on? What makes you you? How are you able to do this? Because I don't know about you, but that's not my first reaction in these kind of circumstances. Look at what Paul's story is. Look at his how is. Look at his why. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Y'all, Paul isn't the super Christian Paul. Paul isn't the super strong, I've got it all figured out Paul. Paul is the person that's being prayed for Paul. Paul is able to have joy in the middle of where he is because he has the people that care the most about him praying for him. And they're not just praying for him, they're praying that he would encounter and be complete and satisfied in the presence of God. When he says here, in the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the words that it's using is provision, but it's specifically speaking to the presence of God, that the presence of God would be the help. Not that it's a added power or something to get a desired result, but that it in itself is helpful, the presence of God. It's what they're praying for. So y'all, Paul wasn't going to wait to rejoice. He said from the very beginning, my mind's made up. I'm not waiting to rejoice. And how? It's because he has people praying for him, and it's because he's satisfied in the presence of God. And it's because he's satisfied in the presence of God. Y'all, he doesn't need whatever it is that the outcome is. Like he's not looking for a specific outcome because he's found what he needs in the presence of God. And not only that, when he says the word deliverance, so this will turn out for my deliverance. The word that he's using actually connects all the way back to the Old Testament and to Job, to a prayer that Job made to God. And Job was the guy that had everything stripped from him possible in his life. So many of his kids died. He had all kinds of diseases. And in the middle of all of his pain, Job is sitting here saying that, God, I don't know all of the answers, but I know that because of you, this will work out for my deliverance. So he's able to connect to past people and the word of God and their testimony to hold true, to know that this is going to work out for my deliverance. It's not Paul standing on his own. It's Paul being prayed for. It's Paul in the presence of God. It's Paul with the word of God making Paul able to rejoice now and not waiting for an outcome. What I love about Paul is that he didn't wait to rejoice because his joy, it wasn't in an outcome, it was in a person. His joy wasn't in an outcome, it wasn't in getting a certain way, it was in the person and presence of Christ. Look at verse 20. It says this, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. The determining factor for whether or not Paul is happy, for whether or not Paul is going to have this joy, the determining factor for Paul's life is Christ being honored. That is his sole goal in his prayer with him and him talking about deliverance. That is it for Paul. It is Christ being honored. Look at how strong the language is when he's talking about nothing else matters but Christ being honored. He's saying he's got eager expectations. That he's not ashamed at all, but full courage now as always. Doesn't that sound like freedom? That he just full confidence in who he is in Christ because it's not about him, it's about Christ. And so he's got full freedom and confidence. John Piper puts it this way, that God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. That God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. Y'all, Paul's freed from needing any kind of specific outcome. All he needs is the presence of God. And I wonder how much we rush past this truth and thinking about all the different things that we need in our life, thinking about all the different problems that we have and the results that we're desiring to get, and we rush past the freedom that we have in Christ being honored in our life. When that is our goal, when that is our perspective, when that is what we live for, that then nothing else that we have to hold tightly onto, we can let it all go and have everything that we need in Christ. See, it's so hard in our culture because our culture is outcome-oriented. Everything is about results. We look to find value in whatever produced, whatever it is that we wanted, that then is valuable to us. This is what I try to teach our students so much, and I see some of our students in here, no judgment, but I see you, and not in life groups. But this is what I try to teach our students so much is this concept of being found faithful with God versus being found successful in the world. that when we have so much of this outcome orientation built around our culture, we get it's so focused on success and results and the end goal that we miss a concept of being called to be faithful. That when we're called to be faithful, it is all about the person of Christ, and it is all about his presence, and it's all about whatever he tells us to do, period, without the needed end result. That Paul could have the kind of confidence to say, I don't have to make it through this alive for Christ to be honored. That I could die and Christ is going to get the glory, because you can't take what he's given me, the freedom that I have in him. That Paul doesn't have to hold out hope for whatever it is that seems impossible. He can rejoice right now because it's not about him getting the impossible. It's about Christ being honored and the freedom that he has in that. The freedom that he has with Christ, it being all about Christ. That's real freedom. That's real freedom. And he continues in verse 21. It says that for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The Greek doesn't even put the verbs in there. It's just simply live Christ, die gain. It's such a like heartbeat kind of statement of the life of Paul. And when we read this, when we think to live is Christ and to die is gain, so much of my thought process works, and I think about the problems that I have, and I think about the joy that I have. So much of what I desire with the problems and with the joy is I hope they work really well for a way to me to escape the problems that I have, if you can relate in any kind of way. We want some system to escape and to get out of the problem that we're in the middle of. And when we read a verse like this, we can get very twisted very quickly, because that's so much of what we do. We look for an escape, and there's nothing in this verse when he says for to live is Christ and to die is gain. Look at what he's saying. This has nothing to do with an escape, because he continues in verse 22 and it says this, for if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. You realize the question that he's saying? He's like, I don't even know which is better, to die and live in the full presence of God, or to continue in the flesh and continue serving the Lord. Like, it's a toss-up for him that he can't even tell which one he would want. Eternity in the presence of God, or the life that he gets to live in the body serving him right now. He loves what he does that much in getting to serve God with his life that it's a toss-up, that he gets to the point of, I don't even know which one I would want if I got the choice. And as I think about our life and I think about the conversation that we're having and our joy and our desires and how much that I struggle, because I look for that escape route all the time. How do I get out of this? And then I'll find joy on the back end. We find joy after this stuff has happened. And Paul's a model for us right here in the middle of it all, that there is no kind of escape that Paul is looking for, because it's not in an outcome. Once again, it's in a person. And when that's the case, when our hope, when our purpose is found in the person of Christ, we don't have to look for any kind of escape route out of it. We are fulfilled in him. And what this does is it flips the story. It flips how we live our lives. See, no longer then do we live avoiding pain. No longer are we built everything off of then not suffering. It's what do I possibly fear? What could possibly stop me from glorifying Christ? Suffering? Suffering, if anything, we look at when someone's in incredible amounts of pain and still giving glory to God, like there's nothing more powerful than that. As pastors, we get to go and do hospital visits. And what's so crazy is, I hate to even admit it, but we get so busy, it's even a lot of times frustrating to even do a hospital visit. And I show up to a hospital visit, and it is more impactful for me the majority of the time that I get ministered to by the patients in the hospital because of how near and close they are to God and their confidence to be only in him being glorified in whatever it is that they're going through. And I'm here thinking about my schedule. And we do this, we miss out on the joy and the peace and the satisfaction we have in Christ and in Him being the only one that matters and it being all about Him and His glory when we get so consumed with ourselves. And when we get so consumed with ourselves, we start looking for an escape. But Paul here models that if I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor to me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. Look at verse 23. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. You know, this just engages my heart so much to get us to realize that the things that we go through, maybe it isn't that we would be able to get out of it, but maybe right in the middle of it, God is going to use it, but it's going to do something that's bigger than you and I. That maybe what's going on in our life, maybe the things that are attacking your joy are bigger than just your joy. Like that maybe God wants to use what's going on in your life to help somebody else in their life. That maybe He wants to work out in you a peace and a rest and the freedom that's found in Him. That He might allow you to go through some very, very difficult circumstances that you could be able to look to others and help them in their need. Maybe it's bigger than just you. See, Paul's joy, because it wasn't built on an outcome, but a person, he was able to remain. He was freed to remain. He didn't need to escape, but then he could remain in the hurt and the trouble that he was in and glory, give glory to God in the middle of it. I'm reminded, this is Paul's story. I'm reminded of the Philippian jailer out of Acts chapter 16, when the some of the apostles had been arrested for sharing the gospel, and they're just in the jail worshiping God. They're not praying for the prison doors to be open. They're enjoying the presence of God because it's all that they're living their life for. And so as they're worshiping Him and enjoying and just needing the presence of God, an earthquake happens, the doors fly open, and they're free. They're like, they can all walk out, but they don't go anywhere. They remain. They remain, and then in the middle of remaining, the jailer wakes up, and the jailer just goes crazy thinking, like, all the prisoners are free. He goes and takes his sword. He's about to kill himself, but because Paul remained, he's able to tell him, no, look, we're all here. We are all here. And the jailer, weeping, comes to him and says, what must I do to be saved? Because Paul remained. Because Paul didn't take his freedom as a route of escape out of his own problems and trouble, but he took his freedom as a way to remain in the middle, and he says that it's more necessary. It's more necessary to remain for your account. What if it's bigger than you? What if the things that are going through and the reason that God wants you to walk into the freedom that He's created you for is bigger than you? That the things that are attacking your joy, the things that are keeping your mind consumed with yourself, what if the thought, the truth that could free you this morning is that it's bigger than you and that it's not meant to be about you? Look at verse 25. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, listen to Paul, man, confidence. I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. For your progress and joy. The fruitful labor for Paul was that he loved people and he cared about their progress and their joy. For you to know this morning, wherever you are in your walk with God, that He cares enough about your progress and your joy in Him to allow us to continue to walk in this life, that when we get freed in a relationship with Him, when we come into a relationship with Him, we're not just zapped on up to heaven. We don't just do so. It's not our get out of this horrible place free card, right? Like, it isn't just in for us. No, but there's this process that we all go through in life as we progress in our relationship with Him and in our joy. And Paul would find it more necessary to help those he loves than to go on to heaven on his own. That he would desire that fruitful labor of the progress and the joy of those that he cared about. Y'all, Paul, as we dig deeper and we look at his story, y'all, Paul is a man that has everything built on the foundation of Christ. He's embodied for us freedom and joy that is found in surrendering everything to exist solely for Christ. And what that does is it frees him up to live right now for the Lord. So often we wait and we play this waiting game because we are just so fearful of the future and all the different ways that it could add up and what could turn out for us. And God is inviting us to just trust him and to surrender to him and to be able to enter into his freedom right now that we might be able to have his joy. See, this doesn't come from a place of being positive. This comes from a place of surrender. This comes from us under the understanding that it is bigger than me. The freedom that you so desire, the help and the healing that you so desire is found when you're able to surrender all of who you are and find freedom in all of who Christ is and everything that he paid for you on the cross. See, he had, Paul encourages us to have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, that he wouldn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but that he would empty himself and come in the form of a man, and he would be obedient. This is Jesus Christ, obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, so that we could come into a relationship with him. Like that is pure freedom, to be able to live for the sake of someone else. To be set free from the enslavery that we are to ourselves and to have real joy that is built on being able to honor Christ where absolutely nothing can get in the way of him getting the glory that he deserves. What I love about this time is that we get to not just hear the word and leave, but Caleb is about to come back up and he's going to lead us in the last song of worship. The song is about being able to come to the altar. It's about being able to surrender. And so we're going to have prayer partners over here that are able to talk to anybody, that are able to pray for anybody in whatever it is that's going on in your world. But it's an opportunity for you, whether that's you, to have the courage to come and talk to somebody, the courage to not hear a word and leave the same way that you came in under the word, but to find release from the things that you're going through and allowing somebody to pray for you, or if it's just you actually getting to worship him from an honest place of whatever it is that you are in. But for us to know the freedom and know the joy that we have in him, it comes through surrender. I love the statement, I think I said it last time I preached, it's not complicated, it's just costly. This relationship that we desire with God isn't complicated, it's just costly. It costs us ourselves. And it costs us giving up all the ways that we protect ourselves so that we can trust in God and we can care for and live for his glory for forever. Are you waiting to rejoice? Are you waiting for an outcome to come? Are you waiting for news for a doctor to rejoice? Like what is it that you're waiting for that's keeping you from being able to rejoice in the freedom and the hope and the confidence that God wants you to rejoice in his presence? Are you more focused on an outcome? Are you looking for an escape, or are you willing to remain? As we go into this moment of worship with him, I just pray that you'd be able to have freedom and grace, to be honest, and you have courage now to go talk to somebody about wherever it is that you are with the Lord. I'm going to pray for us. And what I want us to do as we finish praying is I want us to just stand and have a moment of worship. So let's pray. God, we come under your word. We come in your spirit. God, we are in this moment, God, where we are confronted with the reality that, God, as much as we've prayed for you about how hard our circumstances are and all the outward things, God, the bigger problem, Lord, is probably that we've been consumed with thinking about ourselves. And so, God, we just want to come and surrender in your presence, God, to say that to have the freedom and the kind of joy that you've created us for, God, We've got to taste and see how good you are, God, and live for your glory and your glory alone, that we are able to take off, God, this weight of responsibility that we carry, God, as we take up your cross of freedom, God, and live for your glory and trust, God, that you're going to provide everything we need exactly when we need it. God, I just pray for grace in this room to worship you from an honest place. God, a place that says you see everything. God, a place that is willing, God, willing to let your word come and free them, God, to give them the joy that they want. God, to give us hope that is built on you and who you are. God, may we worship you in your presence in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.